The scripture reading this morning is from John chapter 20, the verses 1 through 10. We wish to read John chapter 20, the verses 1 through 10. And there we read God's holy word. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not that the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. So far the reading of God's holy word. The text for the sermon is formed by the last words of verse 9, where we read, He must rise again from the dead. Congregation, the Lord Jesus had died on the cross. He was buried. A large stone was placed in front of the grave, and now the light of the world had gone out, and the Son of Righteousness had gone under. Jesus of Nazareth was dead. The hope of the disciples descended into the cold, dark grave. And humanly speaking, the disciples had now no expectation left. As sheep without a shepherd in the midst of a howling wilderness, they huddled together. But they had, humanly speaking, no hope. This was the end for them, really. But man's impossibilities are God's opportunities. And when we can lose our hopes, and when we have no expectations left, then still the Lord can show that He is a surprising God, that He gives outcome even when we are least expecting of it. For on the third day, the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the grave. In spite of Roman guards, in spite of a Roman seal from Caesar himself, in spite of death and grave, the Lord Jesus arose. He was dead. He was buried. But then his body started to move again. And he opened his eyes. He loosened the bands around him. And he stood up. And angels rolled the stone away, and the Lord Jesus Christ walked out of the grave. The Lord is surely risen. And this is the glorious day which we wish to celebrate today. Christ is surely risen. We wish to consider, therefore, our text. He must rise again from the dead. And in doing so, congregation, we do not wish to consider the direct setting of the text, But we just wish to focus upon these words, the words of our text, that he must rise from the dead. Let us then consider, Christ must rise from the dead. And we consider then three things. When he arose, why he arose, and how he arose. Christ must rise from the dead. When he arose, why he arose, and how he arose. So then first, when he arose. Well, the Lord Jesus arose, boys and girls, you know that, on the third day after his crucifixion. The Lord Jesus arose on this special day. This was a day reserved for the Lord Jesus Christ only. Because we do not read anywhere in the Bible of anyone who was raised from the dead, that he was raised on the third day. We read of others who were raised from the dead, but never do we read that they were raised on the third day. We read that the Lord Jesus, that he especially, had to arise on the third day. That day was, so to speak, reserved for Christ. We read, for instance, of the son of the Shunammite and the son of the widow of Sarepta and the young man of Nain. We read about Lazarus and about saints which arose from the grave when Christ arose, but it was all precisely stated that the Lord Jesus had to arise on the third day. It behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, the Lord Jesus said. And this was all by God's guidance. The Lord had to rise on the third day. He had risen on the same, if he had risen on the same day of his death, then people could doubt if he had actually died. If the Lord Jesus had been 3 hours in the grave, then people could wonder, yes, but did he now really die? Or if he had just been 1 day or 2 days in the grave, then people could still wonder, because there are illnesses that people can be unconscious or in coma for 1 or 2 days and then still come out of it. But now that the Lord Jesus had been 3 days in the grave, it was clear that he had died again, something to underline the reality of the resurrection. The Lord Jesus was truly dead and buried. But if his body would have stayed longer in the grave, 4 days or 5 days or a week, what would then have happened? Well, his body was a human body. Then his body would have started to decay and to deform. Just as Lazarus was 4 days in the grave and Martha said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. But the body of the Lord Jesus was not permitted to decay. Psalm 16 said that the Lord would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. Now, the Lord Jesus would not be corrupted by the power of death. He had to arise exactly on the third day. And this was all according to God's counsel, to God's purpose. The Lord works whatever is pleasing unto him. He is God. His counsel shall stand. And as we then consider that the Lord Jesus, by God's appointment, had to arise on the third day, we see that there are many prophecies which refer to this, and that there are types of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament which refer to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Let us try to view some of these matters. We can see this, for instance, in Isaac. From the time that God commanded that Isaac was to be offered as a burnt offering, Isaac, as it were, was a dead man. But on the third day, when Abraham and his son Isaac were on Mount Moriah, then Isaac, as it were, was released from this verdict of death. And so to speak, Abraham, as it were, received Isaac back from the dead. And this took place on the third day. And Hebrews 11 refers to this fact as an example, as a figure, that Abraham received Isaac back. And it was on the third day, as it were, from the dead. We also can refer to Jonah. Jonah was cast overboard and was swallowed up alive by a huge fish. And Jonah was then accounted to be a dead man. But on the third day, Jonah was spewed out by the fish on dry land. This was again a figure of Christ. The Lord Jesus himself refers that to us. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, Matthew 12. We can also refer to King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah received a death tiding, and Isaiah told him, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." And from that moment, Hezekiah was accounted as being a dead man. And he cried unto the Lord for mercy. His bed was at as it were his grave. But on the third day he was miraculously healed, raised up again. Isaiah said to him, "On the third day thou shalt go up to the house of the Lord." 2 Kings 20. So we see types, and more types could be mentioned from the Old Testament, and also of the institutions of Moses, all referring to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But next to these types and these examples of Christ's resurrection, the Lord Jesus himself repeatedly foresaid that Christ would arise on the third day. We already quoted Hosea, or in Hosea chapter 6, we read this prophecy: "After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." A prophecy referring to the Lord Jesus. And Psalm 16 verse 10, we referred to that verse already. "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And this verse from Psalm 16 was quoted by the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. And he, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, declared that that verse from the Psalms referred to Christ and his resurrection. But the Lord Jesus himself also prophesied that he would die and be raised again on the third day. Matthew 16, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised up the third day." And Matthew 17, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. They shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again." Matthew 20, "There on the third day he shall rise again." And the scribes and the Pharisees noticed these sayings, and they took these sayings to heart. And therefore they went to Pilate in Matthew 27. "Sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.'" And then they asked Pilate to seal the grave so that his disciples could not come and steal the body of the Lord Jesus. So there are many prophecies referring to the fact that the Lord Jesus had to rise on the third day. And this time, the third day, was the most suitable time. The Lord God never comes too early, and the Lord God never comes too late. This was the most suitable time to comfort his disciples. And this was the most suitable time to confuse his enemies. The soldiers there to guard his body. The soldiers had to prevent the resurrection. And they were present until the third day, when all of a sudden a terrible earthquake took place. And these Roman soldiers started to quake themselves. They became as dead men. And as soon as they could, they ran away into the city and told what happened. And the Lord Jesus arose on this third day. And this day was then the best day to comfort his disciples. They were all in great grief. They had thought that all their hopes had been in vain. They had thought that he would have given redemption and deliverance to Israel. They trusted in him, and now it appeared as if it was all lost. But then the Lord Jesus rises. He appears unto them. And the Lord shows them it is not in vain to trust in him. He delivered them from their despair. He is a surprising God, a full Savior. And congregation, that is still the case. For the Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Always the same. And the Lord also knows them now who are looking unto him, who are earnestly waiting for him, who need the Lord and the Lord alone to save them. The Lord knows those people who are in darkness because of conviction of sin. The Lord knows those who are in the struggle of faith, and all things seem to be in vain, all their trust and all their hopes and all their struggles of faith seem to be in vain to them. And the gainsayer, the enemy, the devil accuses them and laughs them to scorn that they have trusted in vain in God. And the Lord knows those people who wait for him, who have no other hopes than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows how to deliver them. It may seem gloomy to them. And they may hear from inside and from without, it's in vain to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But how dark it may be, the Lord knows how to deliver. He knows how to reveal himself as a surprising God. He lifts up the poor and the needy from the dust. He hears the cries of penitent sinners. And at this time, yes, at his time, the Lord comes. And at his time, the Lord shows his light. And he speaks peace to the soul at his time. And the Lord never comes too soon, and he never comes too late. And at his time, the Lord shows his light. He works redemption, and the Holy Spirit takes it out of Christ and shows it unto sinners, and redemption and salvation are applied. The Lord does not forsake. He came to his disciples on the right time, and the Lord also knows the right time for his people. And therefore, you who may now be in darkness and who have no light, look unto the Lord. Do not despair. Although you have forfeited every right, and although from your side there is no hope, and although from your side you can never make up for what has taken place, but do not despair. Confess all your sins at his feet and expect all salvation from him. Deny yourself, lay yourself in the dust, and cry out for him. Hunger and thirst for the Lord Jesus. The Lord is faithful. He does not leave needy souls who cry out unto him in darkness. He's the risen Savior. He arose to give light. He arose to give salvation. He arose to take those huge rocks which can cover our lives away. And he knows the right time in which to deliver his poor and needy people. Therefore, seek him early, seek him late. Hope upon the Lord in spite of all your gainsayings. Seek him. He gives a fullness of deliverance, and it's his most blessed work, his most delightful work, to help the poor and the needy and to deliver them when they cry. He is the risen Savior. He fulfilled the word. He must rise again from the dead. And he did that to be able to save, to redeem, and to deliver. But this also shows us, congregation, why he arose. Not only the right time and when, but also why he arose. Well, there are various reasons that we can give to answer the question why the Lord Jesus must rise again from the dead. Well, in the first place, we can say by rising from the dead, the Lord Jesus showed that he had fully satisfied the justice of God. He had fully satisfied the righteousness of God. He had fully satisfied the punishment that God demanded for sin. He had fully paid for sin. That's so beautiful. That's why the Lord Jesus was not allowed to stay in the grave. Then the power of death and the wages of sin, which are death, would have still then have captivated the Lord Jesus. Then he would still have been busy, so to speak, paying off. And he would still be paying off and still would not have fulfilled in paying off for sin. Then he would have been swallowed up in death. And if he himself had been swallowed up in death, he could not have paid off the debts of you or of me. But now he has risen from the grave, and that's the proof, that's the evidence. He has paid fully for sin. That's why there is in him redemption for sin. He has paid off the guilt till the last penny. The wages of sin are death, hell, the grave. And now the Lord Jesus descended to hell. He was laid in the grave. He died, but now he fully paid off the debt of sin and guilt. God's justice is fully satisfied. And that shows, that is demonstrated in the resurrection from the dead. And that shows us that the Lord Jesus fully paid, that he can fully forgive, and that his blood is a full remission and cleanses of all sin. But in the second place, we can also say that Christ arose from the dead to show that he had overcome the power of sin. He had overcome the power of death and devil and grave. That's why Paul can rejoice in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Because on this day of his resurrection, the Lord Jesus broke the bars of grave, and he broke the prison of death, and he carried the keys of death and hell at his own girdle. Now was the day that he spoiled all principalities, that he bruised Satan's head. Now is the day in which is manifested that he has overcome all powers, also the power of sin. The Lord Jesus has the power to overcome sin, also that one sin that's mastering you again and again, and that you fight against it, but you lose it every time again. There is strength in Christ to overcome that sin. He overcomes all power, and he overcomes the power of death and grave and hell. And just as Samson lifted up the gates of Gaza and carried them away, Christ lifted up the gates of death and hell and he carried them away. And when we stand at the grave of a loved one, who passed away in the Lord Jesus Christ, we may know that the Lord Jesus has overcome also that grave, and that our loved ones will rise again. But then in the third place, we may say that Christ Jesus arose as the first fruits of all his people. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that Christ had become the first fruits of them that slept. So the Lord Jesus was the first one to arise from the dead in glory. He did not rise like others rose, like the son of the widow of Sarepta, or like the young man from Nain, or like Lazarus. No, they all died again. But the Lord Jesus, when he arose in incorruptible power and in glory. And he's the first one, the first fruits, and that's the evidence, the warranty that the rest of the harvest shall come. All his people will arise in him. His people may be sure that they too shall arise in glory. The grave doesn't have the final say, but the risen Savior. And now God's people die, and they are still laid in the cold grave. But Jesus Christ watches over them. He will quicken their dead bodies. He will lead them into everlasting glory with him. And how do we know this, you ask? By looking here at the open grave. Christ is surely risen. And in the fourth place, we can say that the Lord Jesus arose from the dead to confirm the faith of his people by revealing himself to his disciples. The faith of the disciples was strengthened by his resurrection. The Lord Jesus shows that he is the eternal Son of God. And the Apostle John writes, "These things are written that ye might believe." You see, the resurrection is an impetus to faith. It is something which leads us to have faith. The faith of the disciples was confirmed by the resurrection from the dead. Because after his resurrection, the Lord showed himself to his people, to his disciples, and then the disciples remembered that the Lord Jesus had said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." His disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and we find there in John 2, there we read, "And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." So by his rising from the dead, the disciples believed the scripture. The disciples believed in the Lord Jesus. Christ is the risen Savior. And there is faith, there is life, there is salvation in Him. And this resurrection is an urge to faith. And then lastly, we can say that by His resurrection from the dead, the Lord Jesus received glory and honor. He had been abased as a servant. He had been crucified as if He had been a sinner. And He might now be declared to be the Son of God and exalted to be a Prince and Savior of men. By the resurrection, He would receive glory and honor throughout the whole world. And Romans 1 says concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So the Apostle Paul is saying that by the resurrection of the dead, it is declared that He has power, that He is the holy, omnipotent, powerful God that is displayed by His resurrection. And by His resurrection, Peter says, the Lord Jesus received glory because God raised up Christ from the dead, Peter writes, and gave Him glory. The Lord works all things to the glory of His name. Also, the resurrection from the dead is to the glory of the triune God. And that's why the resurrection is so beautiful. It is to the glory of God. And so we see then, if we ask the question, why was the Lord Jesus raised from the dead? Then we see that in His resurrection then, the evidence that He fully paid the price of sin, that He is therefore a full, perfect Savior who can save from sin to the uttermost. And we see also in His resurrection that the Lord Jesus overcame the powers of sin, death, devil, and hell. So He can overcome the power of sin in your own life. And in His resurrection, we also see that the Lord Jesus arose as the first fruit. Because He arose, all His people may rest assured that they too shall arise from the grave. Because there was an open grave there in Palestine. And there shall be open graves everywhere throughout this planet. Because of the power of Christ. And by His resurrection, the Lord Jesus works faith, strengthens faith. The fact that there was an open grave there outside of Jerusalem is to urge us to realize this and to believe this, to have faith in Him. And then we've also seen that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is to the glory and the honor of His name. He receives praise, glory and honor. See then why the Lord Jesus had to arise from the dead. But then we also see in the third place how He arose. The Lord Jesus must arise from the dead. How did that take place? Well, we read various aspects thereof in the Gospel. We read that the Lord Jesus arose in His own power. How did He arise? He arose in His own power. The son of the Shunammite, who was raised by Elisha, did not stand up in his own power, but by God's power. And when Elijah raised up the widow's son,
Elijah did not do it in his own power, and that boy did not rise up in his own power, but it was by God's power. And when Lazarus had to come forth, this was also by God's power, not by his own power. But here the Lord Jesus, he arises in his own power. The Lord Jesus had power, although he was dead, that he could become alive again. That's the power of Christ. And actually we see the power of the triune God raising up the Lord Jesus from the dead. Because the Lord Jesus, he arose from the dead. And the Holy Ghost, he quickened dead's body. The Lord Jesus Christ's dead body. But God the Father, we also read, raised up his Son from the dead. In the raising of the Lord Jesus from the dead, the triune God works together. You can see, for instance, John 10, where the Lord Jesus said, "No man taketh it from me," that's his life, "but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And then Acts 5 verse 30. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." So you see various texts. One text you see the Lord Jesus arose in his own power. Another text, God the Father quickened his Son. But we see here that the triune God works together, and that the Lord Jesus, he arose in his own power. But how further did the Lord Jesus arise? We read of angels coming down from heaven. Angels. And they rolled aside the stone, and they terrified the soldiers. And the soldiers, they fled as fast as they could into the city and went to the scribes and Pharisees and told them what had happened. And then they made up, the scribes and the Pharisees made up the terrible lie, which was told amongst the Jews, which they believe until this very day. But angels, they descended from heaven. That's how the Lord Jesus arose, while angels were present. And the Lord Jesus arose also when an earthquake was present. Matthew 28 verse 2 tells us, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." A terrible earthquake occurred. At the death of Christ, the earth shook. And at the death of Christ, rocks were torn to pieces. You can read this in Matthew 27. But now at his resurrection, again the earth shakes and trembles. How are the words of Psalm 114 fulfilled? "Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the God of Jacob." Well, here the earth actually literally trembles because of the God of heaven and earth as he died and as he arose. How did the Lord Jesus arise? Well, he arose together with other people. Others also arose from the grave. Matthew 27 tells us, "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many." So there were more who arose from the grave as a manifestation that the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Life, arose. and that he shares his rising power with others, with all his people. The Lord Jesus, he arose also with a glorious body. He arose in glory. And later on we see how the Lord Jesus reveals himself unto John on the Isle of Patmos, that then his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace glowing, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And that was the glory of the Lord Jesus as he is in heaven. And actually the Lord Jesus arose in this glory and this honor. But for the time being, during the time from his resurrection till his ascension, the Lord Jesus hid that glory he had. He did not reveal himself with that glory unto his disciples. Then the disciples would have never been able to recognize him. Then they would have even been more confused. But now the Lord Jesus arose in the same body in which he died. And he arose and he could show them the signs in his hands and feet. He could eat in their presence to show them that he was really the same. And so he revealed himself unto his disciples in a body which was not as glorious as the glory which was fitting for him. But this was for the sake of his disciples. But after his ascension, then the glory of Christ was manifested as he appeared unto John. And so far, congregation, we have seen then some aspects of how the Lord Jesus rose from the grave. For he must rise again from the dead. And so far then, we have studied this blessed fact of salvation from Scripture. We have seen when, we have seen why, and also how the Lord Jesus arose. And now let us then conclude with a personal word of application. Congregation, the resurrection of Christ that opens up for us the blessing of regeneration. Just as the Lord Jesus arose, so dead sinners may arise in his power. 1 Peter 1 tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So Peter is saying we are begotten again. That is to say, we are born again to a living hope. And it took place by means of the resurrection of Christ. Through the resurrection, by the power of Christ's resurrection, sinners are raised up in a new life. And that is possible through the Holy Spirit. And that same power is available to us. The Lord offers that renewing power to you and to me. Are you risen with Christ to a new life? Do you recognize something of this resurrection power in your life? Do you know of a former life and of a present life? Do you know of this fundamental change in life? Without regeneration, you remain to be a dead sinner, dead in sins and trespasses, and you remain an enemy of God. That's how we are by nature. But when the Holy Spirit breathes into us, then our nature changes. We become new people with new desires, with new hopes, then there is love to the Lord Jesus that was not present beforehand. Then there is grief and sorrow because of sin, which was not present beforehand either. Then there is a hunger and a thirst to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And these changes are worked in regeneration. These changes are worked by the resurrection power of Christ. Well, has this power of resurrection taken place in your life yet? This is so very necessary. Ask the Lord to renew you. Ask the Lord to send His Holy Spirit to work this necessary change in you, to renew you, to fill you with love to Him. He is willing to save you because He is risen from the dead. And that opens up every perspective upon salvation, because the Lord has surely risen. And that's going to be the key text throughout the rest of the New Testament, proclaiming the resurrection from the dead. And because of this resurrection of the dead, the Lord Jesus opens up for us forgiveness of our sins. Your sins can be washed away because of the resurrection of the dead. Romans 4 verse 25 says this clearly. The Lord Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He was raised again for our justification, for the forgiveness of sins. He suffered on the cross. He shed His blood, and He arose from the dead. And that all proves that He can forgive sin. He did not do these things for Himself, but for others, for needy sinners. There is forgiveness in the blood of Christ. Do your sins bother you? Are you burdened and troubled? There is forgiveness for you in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He arose from the dead, and that's the divine seal upon this proclamation of salvation. He arose. That's why our sins can be forgiven. But do you have work for Him to do? Do you own your sins? Do you own your guilt? We by nature want to shy away from our guilt. We don't want to confess guilty, but we confess non-guilty. That's our problem. But there is an abundance of forgiveness for those who confess their sins, because Jesus arose from the dead. And the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is also of vital importance for a life of sanctification. The people who know the Lord in faith, they are called to walk in a new life with Christ. And that is a life in which they die to sin. That's a life in which they strive to walk in the ways of the Lord. They are called to walk in a new life. They are called to be renewed. The Lord does not only forgive sins, but the Lord also delivers from sin. He cuts off sins, and He teaches to fight against sin. And that's all possible, not in our own power, but in the power of His resurrection. Sins against which we struggle, oh, there's only strength in this struggle, in the overcoming power in Christ. And now the people of God, they are risen daily to walk in a new life with him. That's what Romans 6 verse 4 so beautifully explains, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We cannot walk in the old life, but we are called to walk in a new life with him. And God's people indeed know this new life. And they know the strength of God breathing in them that restrains them from certain sins that they easily used to be engaged in. This is all by the new life the Lord Jesus gives his people. But the resurrection of Christ also means that his people will on the last day of this world be raised up in glory. They will be raised up in a glorious body, in a spiritual, in a heavenly body. That is what the Apostle Paul again beautifully explains in Romans 8, that if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So the Apostle says, the Spirit that rose up the Lord Jesus from the dead, if that Spirit works in you, dwells in you, then that Spirit will also raise you from the dead in that day of days. And then God's people will never die anymore. And then they will be equal unto the angels. They will be above the angels in glory. But they will be forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. But congregation, how blessed is the resurrection of Christ. We have tried to view various aspects of this blessed gospel, of why the Lord Jesus and how, and also the beginning when the Lord Jesus arose from the dead. Congregation, do you know the power of his resurrection? Has the Lord raised you to a new life with him? If you may know this power, be humble and be grateful, and seek to live daily from the power of his resurrection. Join in with the Apostle Paul, who had as his life's prayer that I may know him and the power of his resurrection to kill that indwelling sin that is still within me and that will remain in me in principle till the day I die. And therefore, seek to know the power of his resurrection. But if you do not know the resurrection of Christ and his power in your own life, that means that you are still dead, that you are still lost in your sins, and that means that you will perish forever. And the Lord Jesus has the power to renew you. He has the power to save you. He has the power to forgive you. And you have been baptized as a child, were you not? And if we have not been baptized, then still the power of the Lord, the promises of the Lord Jesus are preached upon us. And they are offered unto us. And the Lord Jesus is willing and able to grant salvation. This power of his resurrection is available to us. It is to be received from Christ. He can save. Seek him. For he is the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen.